Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection. Only from John Frieda.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Monday, May 15th, 2017. I'm your host, Lucas Han, and today we are back with our first episode of the week, getting rolling with some off-season stuff. Yeah, I know the episodes have been kind of intermittent in the last few weeks, especially last week. I think we only had one episode. That's not going to be the case normally for the off season. I'm getting into finals week. I had a lot of exams and papers going on last week, and ultimately just had to make a few executive decisions late at night as it came time to keep working on some schoolwork that we would pass up some podcast episodes. But again, that's not going to be the case normally going forward. This week we should have a few episodes. I'm going to be driving back across the country this week from school in New York to home in Los Angeles, so I don't think we'll be here every day, but I'm hoping to have obviously today's episode, an episode tomorrow, and then one episode probably on Thursday as I'm on the road. But we'll see. I mean, I'm going to be meeting up with some, you know, basketball media people that I know from different spots in the country as I travel across. So maybe I'll, you know, do little mini episodes talking with each of them. But we'll see. We'll see how tired I am. We'll see what time I end up getting to these places. It can be a little unpredictable making large treks like this. So the first thing for you guys to be made aware of that we haven't had a chance to really talk about is that the Clippers are going to be having this event today, Monday the 15th at noon. So you can check it out. They'll be streaming it on their Facebook. They're making a quote-unquote major announcement, but they aren't saying what. The major announcement is that they're going to presumably be unveiling the Agua Caliente Clippers of Ontario, basically announcing their new D-League team, which is super exciting. And then we'll get to see maybe if they bring David Michonneau, their draft pick from last year that's in France right now, over to play for that team. If they're going to buy into this draft, you know, these are things that we'll see in the coming weeks and months to kind of determine how they'll utilize this new tool. But it's exciting to see that they'll be unveiling it. You know, this is something we've waited for a long time, and who knows, maybe there will be a couple other nuggets in there just about the direction of the team going forward when you've got all of these guys and Jillian Zucker, so all of these people, I suppose, who are big-time decision-makers within the Clippers organization up there taking questions and talking to the press. So definitely check that out if you can. I think they'll be streaming it on Facebook, but if you can't, then stay tuned on Twitter and Clips Nation for some coverage of that event. Now, as we get going in the next few weeks, once I get back to Los Angeles and get a little settled, we'll talk a little bit about free agency, players the Clippers can target, what's up with the players that are currently on the Clippers who could be leaving the team. But for now, in these next few episodes, I just want to talk about kind of the season that was and break it down a little bit. So at Clips Nation every year, we do a series that we call Exit Interviews, where basically we take a few weeks to do one player a day, just kind of discussing what the expectations were for them for the season, what the story of their season was. Was it a disappointment? Was it exceeding expectations? And then kind of talking about what their future could be with the Clippers. So in the first week, we had most of the third string guys, and then now last week we had guys you would pretty much consider to be most of the second unit, and then Luke and Bamute. And then now here in the final week coming up, we've got the starting lineup plus Austin Rivers. So we're kicking it off with Austin Rivers today being exit interviewed by Jonathan Hugh. And then down through the week, we've got the core four with some of Clips Nation's best writers. So definitely check those out on the site. But for now, I want to just talk about basically some of these players and just give my perspective, because obviously I've been so busy, I haven't gotten a chance to really write any of these exit interviews. So I just want to share some of my thoughts on, you know, these guys, the season that they had, their future with the team. Now, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time, and it's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of these other ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all is that my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOCLIPPERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOCLIPPERS today. So, in our exit interview series at Clips Nation, we started with, on day one and two, the two rookies, Diamond Stone and Bryce Johnson. Now, obviously, neither of these guys contributed much on the court for the Clippers this season, but that doesn't mean that there's not a story there. Just because we didn't see it on TV at night doesn't mean that nothing happened. So the story with Diamond, I think, is probably overall a good one. He was drafted in the second round, 19 years old, very raw, and he was basically a project from day one, from the jump. He was a project. We knew that was going to be the case, and that it was going to take the team a couple years of development before they could really see if he was going to be something for them or not. So I don't think that there's any disappointment in the fact that he wasn't able to play much. He had some mixed results in the D-League, which is kind of what you expect from a guy trying to learn the ropes. Diamond, really areas that he has to improve are kind of defensively and with his physicality, so that he doesn't get beat up by bigger guys, especially on the glass, where he struggled a little bit in Summer League and in the D-League. And then as a kind of outgrowth of that, he's struggled getting in foul trouble. But what he does have is offensive skill, and versatile offensive skill, shooting, scoring down low. So he's a guy who, and I mean this is like a huge, huge stretch, but who you would maybe consider to be able to kind of hopefully have like a Zach Randolph light type of game if he can really reach his peak. He's nowhere near that right now, obviously, but you kind of get that sort of excitement, that sort of feeling that he could be that kind of guy. Now, Bryce, on the other hand, is this like springy, athletic, 6'9", long-armed guy. You know Bryce from UNC if you watched college basketball a couple of years ago. But Bryce, the Clippers' first-round pick, who people thought might even have a chance of being in the rotation this year, came in and had a bad back injury in training camp. And he never really got a chance. He missed more than half of the season with that injury, and when he came back, obviously, you know, he's not going to be able to compete for minutes at that point, having missed most of the season, not having any time to gain any experience, not having been in practice or been in shoot around or even been in a lot of training camp because of that injury. He didn't really have a chance at that point to earn minutes over Brandon Bass. So definitely, I think, a little bit of a disappointing year for Bryce Johnson, although it's not his it's not Bryce's fault that he had a disappointing season, but I just think that, you know, that's sort of the case. So hopefully we'll see a little more from Bryce Johnson next season. Maybe a chance to kind of get into the rotation, even if it's only, you know, not for 82 games, but if we can see him for like 30 games as like a fifth big guy when one guy is hurt here or there, he can get in for 8 or 12 minutes just to see a little run from him. Diamond, I don't think that'll be the case. I think we're probably going to have to wait another year to see Diamond sort of get any sort of shot like that. Moving on through the players that we covered in that first week of exit interviews at Clips Nation, we have Alan Anderson next. So Alan was a guy who I think a lot of people had higher expectations for than we really saw delivered. I know that Zach Lowe kind of expected him to emerge as the Clippers' starting small forward. I kind of thought that would happen too, and if it didn't, I at least thought that he would be a pretty solid contributor. I was really excited when the Clippers signed him. Overall, he only played about 30 games, 10 minutes a game, kind of the role that I just envisioned for Bryce Johnson. And he didn't shoot the ball well. Defensively, he was slow-footed, not his normal self. And I think that what we really discovered over the course of the season was that he's not recovered from those ankle surgeries that he's had in the last couple of years. There were still reports early in the season of his ankle being swollen after playing, which is why the Clippers were holding him out of so many games early in the season. And, you know, whether it was the ankle injury or just aging or being out of shape because of the ankle injury or some combination of all of that, he really was never, he never looked like a contributor when he was on the floor this season, which I think was disappointing. My best guess is that Alan Anderson's probably done in the NBA unless he can make a convincing case to someone that it was his health with his ankle and he's now better and can be the player that he was in years past. But I think his days of getting a guaranteed contract like he got with the Clippers last year are done. He'll probably have to earn a spot in training camp if he wants to show to anyone that he can contribute really like he did in that like 2015 season with Brooklyn, where he was, you know, a very solid two-way wing player. The next guy we talked about at Clips Nation was Brandon Bass. Now, Brandon Bass, I thought, had a very good year, but I also don't think he necessarily needed to be playing a ton more. A lot of people really thought, like, Doc Rivers should have played Brandon Bass more. I didn't really get that vibe very much. I thought Bass was very solid. I think what I said when the Clippers signed Brandon Bass is that Brandon Bass is the perfect fourth big for a team that plays three bigs. And I think that's a great descriptor, because Brandon Bass is a flawed player. He's not a complete player, and he doesn't especially fit in the modern NBA style as a power forward who doesn't protect the rim, can't slide over and play center, doesn't rebound very well, doesn't shoot three-pointers. He's limited, but he's got a big body for interior defense. He rolls to the rim aggressively and finishes offensively. And to a certain extent, that's all you need to do if you're just going to be a backup player. And as the fourth big on a team that played three bigs for most of the season, that's really all that he needed to do. Blake Griffin ate up most of the power forward minutes, and the Clippers went small a lot when Blake was on the bench. DeAndre Jordan, Mos Bates, played pretty much every center minute of the entire season. So Brandon Bass was there for when there was foul trouble, when someone got hurt, like when Blake went down, Brandon filled in excellently. When you're playing against a team that goes big and you just need that extra big off the bench, and he helped. And there ended up being 50 games where the Clippers needed a guy like that for one reason or the other. And Brandon was remarkably solid. He's a veteran. You know, for everything he lacks, not being a great defender, not being a great rim protector, not being a floor spacer, he has a lot of knowledge and experience. So everything that he's bad at, he's not horrible at. He's not a great team defender, but he generally knows his rotations and he knows the scheme. He's a pro. doesn't mean he's going to be a great defender that brings your defense together, but he's not horrible. It's not, you know, not to throw the rookies under the bus, but a lot of times Stone and Johnson, in the few chances they did get, even in garbage time, they just looked completely lost. Brandon Bass has played plenty of NBA minutes. He's not lost out there on the floor. So I think, you know, the Clippers ultimately ended up getting like 600 minutes out of Brandon Bass. That's pretty good. You sign a guy to that fourth big role on a team that plays three bigs. He gets 11 minutes a game in 50 games. He's solid. And he was really solid. He had a few really good games where his rim diving was a big part of the Clippers' offense. He had a few really bad games where that dimension wasn't being given to the Clippers by the other team's defense, and Bass's defense hurt the team. So again, I don't think it was the type of deal where Doc Rivers, you know, a lot of people are saying, Bass was so great, why didn't Doc Rivers play him more? Well, he had his shortcomings, and we knew that he would going in. But at the same time, he brought a lot to a team that, you know, any team could use another veteran big off the bench. And he was that reliable veteran big when the Clippers needed him. And I think one thing that probably shouldn't go without noting is that it's not necessarily that hard to be a contributor to an NBA team. Obviously, for you or I, it would be hard. But for a guy like Brandon Bass, you know, he has the skill to do it. But it can be a lot more difficult when you don't have a consistent role. When you don't know if you're going to be playing no minutes, or 2 minutes, or 8 minutes, or 20 minutes, depending on if someone's in foul trouble, or if there's a weird matchup, or if someone gets hurt. So you can go from getting 0 minutes from being benched for a few weeks to someone getting hurt, and now all of a sudden you're in the rotation nightly. And that's what happened to Bass this season, and he was ready to contribute whenever he was called upon. And so I think that that was definitely impressive. He, like I said, he was a pro. He was always ready to go out there and be solid and know what needed to be done, even though he wasn't necessarily great when he was on the floor. He always kind of brought like a baseline level. I think he was a very reliable option, and there's a lot to be said for that. Now, the last guy that we talked about in week one of the Clips Nation exit interviews was the one and only Paul Pierce. Now, I don't feel the need to go in on Paul Pierce like I may have over the last couple of years, because it's over now. He played 2 seasons with the Clippers. He's retiring. And even though his Clipper legacy is something that I think probably everyone wishes they could scrub from the record books, his legacy, both as an NBA player, as a Celtic, but also as a Los Angeles native, are that, you know, it's just a pretty groundbreaking. So obviously we all know the story of Pierce as the Celtics Finals MVP with Doc Rivers as a coach. Great stuff. But then also, you know, Paul Pierce coming from LA, from Inglewood High School, and then coming back to the Clippers to close his career, pretty special, even if what he did on the court for the Clippers was pretty lackluster. Now, the one thing that, you know, you do have to make note of, I think, is that Pierce hurt the Clippers when he was on the floor this year. Now, the real issue is that he shouldn't have been on the floor at his age. Doc Rivers should have known better. But it is what it is, especially when the Clippers got into the end of the season, and then they got into the playoffs, and then Blake Griffin got hurt. Doc Rivers started to lean on Paul Pierce more and more because it's a guy out there who he trusts. And, you know, he hurt the team when he was on the floor. On both ends, really. And so it was disappointing, I think. You know, disappointing probably for both Doc and Paul that he wasn't the player that they wanted him to be. Disappointing for us as Clippers fans that we didn't get to see ever, you know, Paul Pierce as a Clipper. And, yeah, we were never going to get 2009 Celtics Paul Pierce as a Clipper, but I think we had hope that we were going to get 2015 Washington Wizards Paul Pierce as a Clipper, the guy who shot 39% from deep, made some big shots late in games, was a huge veteran presence. And while Pierce was undoubtedly a veteran presence in the locker room and on the bench and in practice, he was never really able to bring that calming attitude to the floor because he just wasn't good enough to come in and, you know, kind of take control and settle everyone down like we saw him do in Washington, coming in and hitting big shots. He wasn't a basketball contributor for the Clippers in his 2 years. He was a basketball detractor. But, you know, there are things to be said here about culture, about teaching, about mentorship. He really worked with Diamond Stone a lot in this last season. And Kevin Garnett was around the team a lot, helping out even guys like DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. So I think Paul Pierce, while we can probably all agree that we're happy that his time wearing a Clippers jersey is over, I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't want him around the Clippers organization. So I have sincere hopes that Pierce will remain involved with the Clippers in some capacity, be it as an assistant coach or just as a consultant, as Kevin Garnett does. But, you know, it's for the best that he's not going to be taking up a roster spot anymore, but certainly hopeful that he'll remain around the organization and keep bringing his leadership and his mentorship to these younger guys. Now, tomorrow, in Tuesday's episode, we'll talk about the sort of second unit guys and Luke Mbamute. So we'll be talking about Wesley Johnson, Mo Spates, Raymond Felton, Luke Mbamute, and Jamal Crawford, who are the five players that the Clips Nation staff broke down in exit interviews last week. And then we'll also talk about any notable developments at the Clippers D-League announcement, which is, again, tomorrow at noon. And I think they're streaming it on Facebook Live, so you should be able to check that out. And then next week, when we come back, once I'm in Los Angeles, we'll kick off the week talking about the exit interviews that you'll see on Clips Nation starting today, being Austin Rivers, J.J. Redick, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and Chris Paul. That's running from today through Friday on Clips Nation. And then as we roll more into next week, we'll talk about kind of free agency and off-season stuff, finally get going on that. I know it's been a couple weeks since the Clippers season ended. It's just been a weird time with school ending, and now I'm heading back across the country, but once I get settled, we'll really be able to get going on these conversations. As I said last week, you know, I do the show for you guys, not for me, so let me know what you want to talk about. We have a little bit of free range in the off season to dive into different topics. We absolutely have time to talk about different free agents who you guys think the Clippers should target, or different, you know, paths that you guys think the Clippers should pursue. So we'll tackle some big picture questions as far as, should the Clippers blow the team up, should Doc Rivers be retained, etc. And then we'll move, you know, at the same time we'll be talking about who should the Clippers spend their mid-level exception on, who are some minimum salary targets to help as a backup point guard, things like that. So I'm looking forward to discussing it all with you. I hope you guys will interact with me on Twitter at Lucas J. Han, at ClipsNationSBN, by emailing me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com and commenting on the Clips Nation blog, www.clipsnation.com, and checking out Clips Nation on Facebook by just typing Clips Nation in the Facebook search bar. So thanks for listening, guys. Hit me up with your questions, suggestions, topics for the future off-season episodes, and I'll see you back here tomorrow for a new episode of Locked On Clippers. This is Luke Sand signing off.
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines with auto pay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, video, HD 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming up to 8 megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, tools, and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited, carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere, restrictions apply.